Scientists from the NOAA Fisheries Pacific Islands region have just set out on an ambitious six-month project, a survey of whale, dolphin, and seabird populations around the Hawaiian archipelago, a 1.8 million square mile area. Dr. Erin Olson is the co-chief scientist for the expedition, and she spoke with us yesterday from the deck of her ship just off the Kona coast.
We are out right now on the Hawaiian Islands Cetacean and Ecosystem Assessment Survey. We call it HISES. And the goal of our mission is to survey for the abundance and also the population structure and population health of all of the different species of cetaceans in the Hawaiian archipelago. So we'll be surveying from shore out to 200 miles offshore, the entire distance of the Hawaiian archipelago from 200 miles south of the Big Island to 200 miles north of Kure Atoll. And while we're out here, we also have seabird observers, and we're doing various ecosystem measurements so that we can get a complete picture of not only cetacean habitat, but also just general oceanographic conditions and ecosystem health. The survey is really designed to provide the data that's needed for Marine Mammal Protection Act and Endangered Species Act species assessment. So how are the individual populations doing? Are they increasing, decreasing, or just stable? And can we identify what the population units are? Some of the populations around Hawaii are actually very small and isolated, you know, around just an individual island, or they could be quite broadly distributed throughout the entire archipelago.
What do you hope to find? You know, what would be your druthers and a really good positive result?
So our number one great outcome would be that we have a lot of encounters with several different species. We have 25 species of cetaceans in Hawaii. So we'd like to have enough encounters with all of those species to be able to estimate their population abundance. That's really the overall driver of a huge effort like this. But in addition to that, we hope to be getting genetic samples and aerial photography and acoustic recordings of all of these different species that are then going to help us answer other questions about population structure and contaminants and what they're foraging on and how they communicate, all those kinds of biological questions that are important to put the context of what the population size is.
What's your definition of population structure? I'm not sure I understand that.
Sure. So population structure would be, for example, we know that there are spinner dolphins distributed throughout the Hawaiian archipelago, but not all of those spinner dolphins are related to each other. They're all the same species, but they form sort of individual populations around each individual island, and those populations are genetically distinct from each other. They don't interbreed, and they primarily stick around their sort of home core range. So we would call that, you know, a very fine-scale population structure for a species like spinner dolphins, where there's seven or eight different populations throughout the archipelago.
And that's, so overall, you're accumulating an awful lot of information, aren't you?
We are. We have a visual team collecting visual sighting data on all of the different groups that we see throughout the day, but we're also recording passive acoustic data. So we tow a hydrophone array behind the ship, and it helps us to find animals. They're commonly using sound when they're navigating and foraging, and so we're sort of eavesdropping in on that, and we can use that to help us locate animals. And that is a huge data stream we're accumulating. By the end of the survey, probably about 100 terabytes of acoustic data. And then on top of that, we have aerial imagery and photographs and biopsy samples and all sorts of other ecosystem data. It's a fairly sizable data collection effort, and just manpower effort.
Sounds like it. Hydrophone being an underwater microphone? You're recording the sounds of cetaceans.
That's right. It essentially is an underwater microphone, and we put them in a string of several of them together. So there are four or five of these underwater microphones all in a line, and based on when we hear the sound on the different hydrophone elements, we can tell where the sound is coming from, and that helps us track them down.
You can estimate distance by things like the volume of the sound.
Volume definitely helps. We can also get distance basically just by, if we continue to move forward, so we'll hear a sound and they can, the acousticians can use the difference in the time that the sound arrives at the different hydrophones to get a bearing angle to the sound.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we move forward, they get another bearing angle, and eventually we get a couple of sounds. Those bearing angles will cross, and that tells us where the group is. So then we can measure that distance from our current location, and if it's close enough and worth the time, we turn and can go get additional information from that group.
You go to try and get a look at them.
That's right. We want to know primarily what species they are. For a lot of species, we can actually tell based on the acoustic signatures or the sounds that the animals are making what species it is. But for a lot of dolphin species, they actually sound fairly similar to each other, and so it is important then for us to turn so we can get closer and the visual team can then see the group and tell us what species it is. And that really adds a lot to the data stream in terms of utility of the acoustic data for estimating other parameters like foraging rate or population size.
Did you say foraging rates?
Yeah, so particularly dolphins and other species like beak whales and sperm whales, they use echolocation clicks to echolocate off and find things that they want to eat. So they produce a sound, it echoes off of the fish or the copepod or whatever thing they're trying to find, and that tells them how far away it is. So by us listening in on their echolocation, we can understand are they foraging at that time, or if they're not producing echolocation clicks, maybe they're just whistling, then they're probably socializing. And so we can kind of get a sense of how will they spend their day. Are we hearing a lot of echolocation during the day, or do we mainly hear it at night? And that's different for every species.
It sounds as if, from things I've read anyway, that some of the things that cetaceans do are more or less just for fun. Is that accurate?
That's true, yeah. Or at least that's our interpretation. It looks like they're having fun.
It sure does.
They're pretty intelligent species, and so they probably are enjoying themselves when spinner dolphins jump out of the water and are spinning around. Some people would say that's to get rid of some parasite or remora on their bodies, but oftentimes you think they're probably just doing it for fun.
Well, let's hope so. Something about that is a very appealing notion, don't you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I love being in the water. It seems like it would be amazing to be able to have that sort of ability to really play around like that, sort of envy them sometimes.
Oh, I would think so. You know, Dr. Olson, I know this is the beginning of a 187-day mission, so we'd really like to talk to you at the end and see what you've found, because I suspect there are going to be some, you're going to be gathering some information that hasn't gathered before. Don't you think that's a possibility?
Absolutely. We're actually gathering new information right now as we speak. We have a team out flying a drone, a hexacopter, over a group of pilot whales collecting aerial imagery, and that's the kind of new, interesting, and exciting stuff that we're hoping to do throughout the 187 days, is a lot of opportunity to get a lot of new technology and new information that we haven't been able to do on prior surveys like this.
Dr. Aaron Olson is the co-chief scientist for the NOAA Fisheries Pacific Island Region 6-month survey to survey whales, dolphins, and seabirds around the Hawaiian archipelago. You can learn more about the expedition on our Facebook page, The Conversation.